ensemble. I tell you, my heart's been stirred the last two nights with the messages that Dr. Knickerbocker has preached, and there's so much I enjoy about Brother Knickerbocker. His not just his ministry, I enjoy his spirit, and I enjoy being around him and just the positive attitude and just his approach to Christianity, and he loves serving God, and you can tell in his preaching. You can tell just by being around him how much he enjoys serving God. And I'm looking forward to him preaching. This will be the last message that he'll be preaching. He's just with us on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And he may show up tomorrow night. I told him we got more food. He said, well, he's going to try to rearrange his schedule to be here. And so he might be able to be back with us tomorrow night. But I hope that you'll take time out, church, to thank the man of God for coming and breaking the word of God to us. So, Brother Knickerbocker, you come, preach to us again. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. What a joy. I'll tell you, I've had a great time. I do have a dilemma. Maybe you can help me, Pastor, on how to solve it. I found out that the missionaries and the pastors, I think, are going to a spa or someplace to get their fingernails and pedicure, and they're going to do all this real neat stuff. And I've got a dilemma. I'm supposed to preach a couples retreat tomorrow morning, and my wife wants to come here. What am I going to tell those couples? I said, Ann, you've got to go with me. I'm sorry. So she said she would. Oh, dear. I have absolutely enjoyed being with y'all. That's a southern term, right? Y'all, yeah. I'm a Yankee. Don't hold it against me. I believe that the, what's that basketball team down here? The what? Oh, the Mavericks, that's right, yeah. They're playing the Knicks Saturday at Madison Square Garden. We'll be praying for them. Who are the Knicks, right? Oh, your pastor threatened me with going to New York City. I told him, I said, man, let's jump a plane and go up there. I'm looking for a good Sabret hot dog off the street. Amen. That's one of the neat things about missions work, you know. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. And just before we read, Pastor, thank you so much. I can't begin to tell you what a joy it's been to be with you, and I appreciate your friendship, and I must say that this church supports Lake Texoma Baptist Youth Camp. And when we first took over, we had the Lake Texoma Baptist Youth Camp given to us. Here, take it. 43 acres of property, sleeps up to 500 kids. Most expensive gift we were ever given. And I was in my office sweating it out one day going, how am I going to pay the insurance on this property? And this church sent $2,000. And I was able to pay the rent for 2 months. And I don't believe in dancing, not really. But I had a hallelujah fit in my office when that check came in. So I have very fond memories of Trinity Baptist Church. Amen. And we appreciate your running the camp from us and coming and bringing your young people to hear the Word of God and see God do something great in their lives. I'll tell you what, we've had 1,133 kids come through camp last summer. 75 kids got saved. And about 30 of them accepted the call of God in their life. And I'll tell you what, it's so exciting. I think the greatest joy in all of the world is investing in the next generation. We love you, young people. Amen. And we want to see God do something great in your life. And I'm going to say the best days are yet to come. Amen. Because I have the Lord, and that's enough. Amen. And our brother that spoke, it was a blessing, the ministry God's giving you there, 40 years going back. Now here's a couple that could say, well, we're going to retire, and stay in the States and preach missions conference. You'd stay busy. But he'd rather go back to the people he loves. And that just thrills me. There's the heroes. No doubt about it. Matthew chapter 25, let's begin in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every one according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made him other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came, and he brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid this thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. The Lord answered and said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Please, Lord, help us. Help us to understand the severity of this passage of Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak this evening on 7 laws that the Christian cannot get away from. There are 7 laws in this passage that God says, I do not allow these laws to be broken. I believe we're going to give an account for the 10 Commandments. No doubt about it. I believe we're going to stand before God and we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to give an account to God how we lived our life. And let me tell you something, God's got everything recorded. That's a scary thought. But it's going to be a terrible reality. If we go out into eternity and we stand before God one day, and we have to give an account for the things that we've not confessed and forsaken. I believe we're going to give an account to God for our stewardship. Everything that you have, you're going to give an account for. The first law that I find here in the Scriptures is found in verse 15. And I hope you'll take notes. Each Christian has been entrusted with what belongs to God. You'll notice there in verse 15, it says, unto one he gave five. To one he gave two. To one he gave one. It was his. It belonged to him. All that you are or ever hope to be belongs to God. It really irritates me when I think of Whitney Houston singing in the church choir and then throws it all away to become a drug addict and ultimately see her own... She took her own life, really. She wasted her substance. And what had been given to her, she blew it. She threw it away. It belongs to God. The air you breathe. The car you drive. The job you have. The health that you possess. It is not yours. It's God's. Does that thrill you? Does that excite you that you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God's the sole owner. He gave it, and He can take it away. The second law I want you to notice is each Christian is entrusted goods according to his own ability. You'll notice there in verse 15, it says, to every man according to his several ability. You know, what God expects out of one, He doesn't expect out of the other. There are some people that are extremely talented. Some aren't. You know, it's amazing to me that sometimes God uses those that have the least talent the most just to prove that He's doing it. He gives us ability. He gives us opportunity. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible tells us in verse 9, and no one could speak more intelligently about this than Peter. I love to read out of 1 and 2 Peter because Peter had failed the Lord. He had denied the Lord Jesus. He had cursed and swore and said he didn't even know who Jesus was. Listen to his words in verse 9 of chapter 4 in 1 Peter. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift. Even so, minister the same one to another. That is, you've got a gift. You're to minister to that gift to somebody else as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. I'm not my own. It's staggering for me to think that God would humble Himself to the point where He would use me. What a responsibility. Notice what else it says. Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things, not just some things, not just in those little things that you want to do for God and those other things you don't want to do for God, that in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What that is saying is that God says, anything that's done for me will never be forgotten. Never. God cannot forget. It's impossible. Sometimes you think you're doing things for the Lord and nobody knows about it. Oh, you're so wrong. God knows everything. And let me tell you something. God is no debtor. I feel as though I have a debt to pay. That's what Paul said. I am a debtor, both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. He was willing to give of himself to the work of the Lord because he knew that the Lord would never forget what he did. You think about the work of this couple in Brazil. Oh, you know, you kept them there. Well, God used you to keep them there. God kept them there. But aren't you glad you can have a part in it? Every soul that they have led to Christ, you're a beneficiary. I know this is going to happen. I've preached it. You've preached it. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be walking down the corridors of glory, and somebody's going to come up to me. And they're going to say, did you support the Smiths? And if I supported the Smiths, I'll be ready to say, you bet I did. And they say, well, you know, if you hadn't sent them, I would have been lost and I would have gone to hell. Do you realize your investment is, you can't even put a price tag on it. If you gave a dollar a week to missions, it would result in leading many people to Jesus Christ. Because little is much when God gets in it. The third thing I want you to notice, not only is every Christian entrusted with what belongs to God, but every Christian is entrusted goods according to his own ability. Number three, each Christian is given full freedom to handle his goods. That's the amazing thing to me. I mean, you know, the pastor's not going to be out there, you know, arm twisting. How much are you going to give this year? Now you only gave, I checked your record, and you only gave so much. All right, come on, give some more. No, we don't even want to know who gives what. That's not our business. God is keeping records. He knows exactly what we're giving. And the beautiful thing is that He lets us have the freedom to handle our goods any way we want. Now, if He gives us the freedom to handle it any way we want, we better be praying and ask Him how we ought to handle it. God gives wisdom. This man, this first man, he took his talent and he doubled it. See, God believes in multiplication. And this man, he took what God had given to him and he handled it correctly. And he invested and he put it out to be used and he doubled what he had been given. He had the freedom to do it any way he wanted to. In verse 16, he talks about trading. In verse 17, he talks about gaining. Motivated to further the owner's investment. But look at verse 18. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and he hid his Lord's money. He thought, I'll take care of this. I surely don't want to take a chance. He forgot who he was working for. So he digs a hole and he buries the talent. Covers it up real good. He says, well, I'll just wait till he comes back. And when he comes back, I'll dig it up and give it back to him. Nothing earned, nothing gained. God didn't lose anything. Oh yeah, God did lose something. Whenever a person doesn't give, they lose. God loses. Yeah. If this church potentially in God's eyes would say, there's a certain amount that I would like this church to accomplish, and then you don't meet it. You're falling short in faith. You say, well, how can I give what I don't have? That's a great question. That's what faith is. Faith is saying, I can't give that much. And the Lord says, good, because I know you can't give that much. But I can help you give what you think you can't give. That's faith. Old Peter walked out on the water. He was doing great. He started sinking. He had enough sense to say, Lord, save me. Amen. Hey, he got out of the boat. All those other disciples, they didn't get out of the boat. You've got to step out. I was thinking about, you know, I preached the other night on the high cost of loving. And I wanted to share this with you. I wrote this down. The high cost of not giving to missions. In every church, it doesn't matter what church it is, there are people that do not give to missions. They may give to the general fund. They may give to the building program. They may give to the bus ministry. They may give to the school. They may give to the college. They may give to special needs. But they don't designate and give to missions. Listen to this. It will cost you a guilty conscience for not participating in the very thing that is dearest to the heart of God. It will cost you not having a part in sending those willing to go. Think about the people that are willing to go. But if you don't send them, it's going to cost you. It'll cost you not being able to say you had a part in reaching the areas where you can't physically go. Think about the people that you send. It's like you're going yourself. There was a young boy. Well, he was a teenager, just getting ready to get out of high school. He had surrendered to be a missionary, but his father died his senior year. He was crushed by it. There was no way that he could leave home and go to the mission field. And so he literally had to get out and get a job and take care of his family. He had to literally provide for his mother and his siblings. But he never lost sight of missions. He became a very successful businessman. He would take mission trips and support missionaries and nationals. And he literally had churches in every continent of the world that he personally funded to get started and then got people to make it happen. Somebody asked him, do you ever sleep? He said, no, I'm never sleeping. They looked at him funny. What do you mean you're never sleeping? He said, I'm personally giving the gospel out all the time, literally around the world. You see, his dad died and everybody thought, oh man, he'll never do anything for the Lord now. He's going to have to stay home, take care of his family. No, he made up for it. God blessed him. He was a good steward. He handled his goods properly. And it multiplied to where thousands of people are going to be in glory because of one man that realized the potential of what God had given to him. And he didn't squander it. Number four, each servant was called to give an account. Notice there in verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. When I think of a long time, I think of 40 years on the mission field. That's a long time. The Lord's been gone a long time. Over 2,000 years. That seems like a very long time to us, but to God, 1,000 years is a day. It's been gone a few days. Eternity is not a big issue with God. Time is not a big issue with God. But he shows up after a long time. Why did he wait so long? It was because he wanted to see a great return. Not only that, but he wanted to see an investment. He wanted to see these people take their responsibility seriously and produce something great so when he came back, he could be glad that he had made the investment. I think about this. God left us, in a sense, physically 2,000 years ago, but he left the church with the awesome responsibility of reaching the world with the gospel of Christ. He's coming back. Wouldn't it be something if he came back in 2012? Man, I'm ready. I'm looking for the uppertaker, not the undertaker. Amen? I can't wait to see Jesus. I can't wait to see my mom and dad again. My mom and dad started 5 churches, 5 Christian schools, and raised 5 boys to serve the Lord. What a heritage. He made an investment. My uncle told my dad, when he was raising us boys and disciplining us and providing Christian education way back in the 70s, and man, that was crazy to be doing that way back then. My dad started the second Christian school in the state of New York. My uncle said, every kid has to climb Fool's Hill. He said, none of my boys are climbing Fool's Hill. Any parent that's worth his salt has determined that my kids are going to walk with God and they're going to love the Lord and they're going to serve God. And let me tell you something. My parents poured themselves into us. My dad always drove a piece of junk. Really, I was embarrassed. That's one reason why I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to drive around no junky car with the muffler hanging off the back. Serious. He didn't care about his car. He didn't care about his office. Man, he carried the checkbook in his back pocket or under the seat of the car. Amen. He was a church planner. But when he started these Christian schools, he'd work nights 11 to 7. Did you hear me? 11 to 7. Come back from work, pick us boys up, take us to school, teach school till 3 in the afternoon. Go home, jump in bed and sleep till 10. Get up and have breakfast. Go to work. He did that for years. I'm talking about an investment. We don't know what it means to sacrifice anymore. We're so spoiled. Yeah, I mean, it's pathetic. Oh, God, give us a desire to make an investment in our lives and do whatever we need to do that we might make a difference for the cause of Christ. Man, if all of us sold just our junk, I've got a half a garage full. If we were just to sell all of our stuff we're not using, we could fund a lot of missions projects. But we're hoarders. Not the kind that's on TV, but close. What are we going to do when we stand before God and we're going to have to give an account of ourselves to what we did? It's going to cost you the ability to rejoice over sinners getting saved because you had nothing to do with it. Think about that. Can you imagine you got into heaven by the skin of your teeth and you're walking around and you can't rejoice with anybody because you never had a part? And I think there's going to be some people that just get in. You know why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I want to say something. Heaven's going to be very exciting for people that invested and gave of themselves to missions. Listen to this. It will cost you prayerlessness because you usually will not pray faithfully for missionaries you're not supporting. I'd like to ask a very, 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 very personal question. I saw a lot of letters out there on those walls. How many of you read every letter, every month. Nobody. Okay, that's all right. I'm not nervous. How many of you read at least half of the letters every month? All right, one, two, three. That's good. That's really good. How many read maybe 10 a month? How many read at least one missionary letter a month? Okay, here's the scary question. How many of you have never read a letter every month? You don't read a letter every month. Raise your hand. Let's shame the devil now. Come on now. Amen. How can you rejoice over somebody you're not praying for? One preacher took all of his missionary letters, little church up in Indiana. He read every one of them, every month. Wrote down how many got saved out of every letter. At the end of the year, his church had won over 10,000 souls to Christ. Did you hear about the missionary one time came into a church that supported him for many years, came in and nobody knew him? They thought he was a visitor. You know, they need prayer as much, if not more, than they need support. See, God can take care of everybody, but we must pray for them. We must lift them up before the Lord. Oh, listen, the greatest ministry of the Trinity Baptist Church is its mission thrust, because it goes beyond Arlington. It goes around the world. It will cost you not living by faith, because it takes faith to do the work of God in missions. How many of us are really living by faith? We're going to give an account before God whether we lived by faith or we did not. So much fun to live by faith. Can I get an amen? Some people live by faith. They trust God for every penny. My brother, missionary in France, the euro has gone way down. He said, Dan, it's amazing how God has met our needs. See, God can work in a bad economy if he can get the heart of the Christian. He can do amazing things that people would think could not be done, because God likes to do things that can't be done. Oh, God, get us to the place, and I say this for myself, God, get me to the place where I'm living by faith. They say most people are about 3 or 4 paychecks from homelessness. If you didn't have a check for the next month, things would start getting rough. Do you realize that we're on the edge? We've got to live by faith. There's no choice. And why not? Do we have to hit the bottom before we realize that God is real? Do we have to experience all kinds of tragedy before we call out to God? Listen, I always call upon God when I'm in a crisis. Let me tell you, one time, we had an all-night prayer meeting. I didn't have many of them, and I'm ashamed of it when I was a pastor, but I think probably one of the greatest things I ever did in my ministry was to have an all-night prayer meeting. We started with 20-some people at 10 o'clock. We're going to go from 10 till 6. I was excited about it. Had coffee made and everything. You know, 20-some people show up. And I was like, this is great. About 2 o'clock in the morning, there were 8 of us. They fell out. Or they went home. I'm not sure what happened. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, Daniel, why are you ashamed of the building I've given you? What? Yeah, you're ashamed of the building I've given to you. When preachers come to preach, you don't want them to ask you how long you've been here because it doesn't look like you're successful. How'd he know? You know, we think God doesn't know these things. You see, there was a preacher that was not far from where I was, another state over, that started his church the same time I started mine. He was running 500 brand new facilities. I mean, woo, he was getting it done. Until his wife said, it's me or the ministry. You got a choice. He had to resign. A church he built with his own hands. She ended up leaving him anyway. 10 years he was away from God. And it was during that time that man, that preacher, was away from God, that God rebuked me about my being embarrassed with what God had given to me. And I started crying and I said, oh God, I'll never, ever feel bad about where I'm preaching and what I have and how you've blessed me. When I understood that he had kept me faithful, oh, I didn't have a big crowd, but I had God's commendation. And I repented and I said, Lord, please forgive me. You know, I think sometimes we're too all about numbers. When we ought to be thinking about God and his power in our lives and taking what little we have and making something great out of it. You know, it wasn't long after that, after I got right with God and was no longer embarrassed for what God had given to me, he gave us an opportunity to buy a beautiful Christian Scientist church building worth about $400,000 for $156,000. We had $80,000 in the bank. Boy, we got that new building. I thought, boy, it's a good thing I passed that test when the Lord nailed me at that all-night prayer meeting. He saw that I was really sorry, that I was repentant about it. And then he said, all right, now I can pour out a blessing on you because you can handle it. See, a lot of Christians can't handle it. If you can't be faithful over what God's given you, why would he give you anything more? I mean, if you go to Starbucks, if everybody just made just increased your giving by $4 a week, that'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? No, the money's there. People get what they want. They do what they want. And Christians do the same thing. Oh, we're going to give an account to God one day. Did you notice the attitude of the one that doubled his money? He's pretty happy. You could sense it in his voice, couldn't you? I doubled it. Amen. That last bird didn't have quite the right attitude, did he? He was a stinking liar. Notice what he said. Verse 23, or verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, Lord. People that have an attitude talk like that. And they lie when they're talking. Listen to his lie. I knew that thou art a hard man. You're not fair. You reap where you have not sown. Now that's a lie. No, he was trying to reap what he had sown. You gather where you have not strawed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid my talent in the earth. There's a man with no faith. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Here, take it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Wouldn't that be something if the Lord's word changed and said you had to give 90% and you get to keep 10? We'd be in a heap of trouble. God doesn't require much of us, really. It's very little that He requires of us. And He will require it of us. Whatsoever a man soweth. What are you going to sow this year for missions? Is it going to be a step of faith? Remember I told you about that church that I thought was a $50,000 a year church, and it was really had only been a $35,000 a year church. You remember that one? I made that statement, and in the invitation that night, they'd already taken their commitments for that week. The guy came back down with a new commitment. He increased his commitment for 4,000 more for the year. Amen. See, God did something in his heart. He'd already made his commitment. But God said, that's not what I really wanted you to give. And then he put down what God wanted him to give. If we would just mind God and be determined that we're going to do what God wants us to do, we will have a gain. Each servant, number five, was required to show a gain. He was required to show a gain. I don't want to have to say one day, boy, I sure wish I'd done more. I wish I'd given him more. I want to make sure that every year there's a gain, that God gets more of me. We got our giving record back from our church, and I looked at it and I was like, this isn't right. Ann, you've been giving more than we were supposed to give. I didn't know we were going to give that much. I can't remember what she said, but it was gone. It was gone. Never missed it. In fact, one of these days we're going to understand how great the commitment was. The reward's coming. We're going to stand before the Lord and He's going to say, you did it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You're going to go, I was a good and faithful servant. I didn't realize I did that good. Oh, I'd like to be surprised when I stand before the Lord, wouldn't you? Oh, to hear Him say, well done, means you have to do something. You kids are rich. Most of you kids are rich. I like the fact that you make all the kids take one. That's how they learn. Amen. Babysitting money. A lot of things you can do to get money. But to think that you're a young person and you gave $100 last year to missions. Or somehow some rich relative kicked the bucket. Left you a couple thousand, amen. Now don't be praying that. I want to close. Number six, each servant, each Christian was rewarded for having many or few talents. Oh, I love that. God is not a respecter of persons. That widow's mite's pretty powerful. Amen? Number seven, each servant, each Christian who refused to invest will suffer penalty. I wanted to read a story to you. In the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, there was this little girl that was crying as she came to church and couldn't get into her Sunday school class. She started walking down the street, heading back for home. The pastor was coming up the sidewalk and saw this unkempt, shabby appearance of a little girl that was in his Sunday school. The pastor guessed that the reason was that she was going home because she could not find a place in the Sunday school class. The child was taken back to the classroom by the pastor and found a place for her to sit, but she left there bothered by the fact that the Sunday school classes were too buildings was too small. Some 2 years later, this little girl lay dying in one of those poor tenement buildings. And the parents called for the kind pastor to come, and because he'd befriended their daughter, to handle the final arrangements at the funeral home. As her poor little body was being moved in death, there on the bed was a worn and crumbling purse. They opened it up and looked inside, and there was 57 cents. There was a note scribbled by this little girl. It said this: "This is to help build the little church bigger so more children can go to Sunday school." For 2 years, this little girl had saved this offering of love. When the pastor tearfully read the note, he knew instantly what God wanted him to do. Carrying this note and the cracked red pocketbook to the pulpit, he told the story of the little unselfish girl that loved the church. He challenged his deacons to get busy and raise enough money for a larger building. But the story does not end there. A newspaper learned of the story and published it. It was read by a realtor who offered him, the pastor, a parcel of land worth many thousands of dollars. When he told the church that he could not pay that much, the real estate agent said, "Why don't you just give me 57 cents for it?" Church members, they made a large subscription. Checks came in far and wide. Within 5 years, that little girl's gift of 57 cents had gone to $250,000. In those days, that was like $1 million or more. When you're in the city of Philadelphia, look up the Temple Baptist Church. It has a seating capacity of 3,300, and also Temple University's there, where hundreds of students were trained and are being trained. Also, the Good Samaritan Hospital was created by that church, and there's a Sunday school building that houses hundreds of Sunday school kids, all because of a little girl with 57 cents. In one of the rooms of this building, you may see a picture of a sweet face of a little girl whose 57 cents, so sacrificially saved, made such a remarkable history. Alongside her portrait is the portrait of her kind pastor, Dr. Russell Conway, author of the book, Acres of Diamonds. You see, folks, you've underestimated the power of your God. That's all it is. You say if we had more people, we could reach that goal. I thought God reaches goals. I thought God is the one that funds His ministry. If God be for us, who can be against us? We are victors. And the best is yet to come. Let's bow together in prayer. I don't know what you're doing for missions, but God does. I would hope that each one of you would seriously get alone with God before this Sunday evening. I mean, get down on your knees in your bedroom or at this altar. You young people, get on your knees and say, God, what could I do for missions? What could you do through me in missions? Church staff, you need to launch out and say, I'm going to do something that only God can help me do. We're going to trust God for great things. We're going to see a victory because our God is victorious. Too many times we see defeat. Let's have a great victory in the quietness of this auditorium. All that we might pray to God and ask God to do for us what only He can do for us. Pastor, you come when you feel led and close this service out.